Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Welcome back to another edition of, what is it called, Jenny Ryan?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yeah, very good robotic voice.
Thank you.
Been practicing.
How can you tell? That's such high quality robot voice.
Lockdown skills, very good. It's another podcast matchup. And they've all been great so far. We've had some brilliant guests. The guests that we have today, by way of introduction, I will say that they were involved in, I think, probably my favourite night in my entire comedy career.
Woo!
Which was when I appeared on Do the Right Thing. It is from Do the Right Thing. We've got Margaret Caborn Smith and producer Ben Walker. Oh,
thank you for, I was going to say thank you for letting me out of the house, but I'm not out of the house, am I?
Feels like it, just slightly. If you close your eyes.
No,
it still smells like home, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, boring.
It's nice for us having someone else with the first name producer on, because we have producer Amanda.
Yeah.
And now it's her brother, producer Ben.
That's brother. How names work.
Yes. Yeah, but we have the same first name.
It's Korean. It's like the Kim.
Oh, wow. I'm learning things already.
Well, exactly. This is a very informative and factual podcast. So Do the Right Thing. Everyone will know it. It's a huge podcast success. Hilarious, absolutely hilarious, but also informative, because the questions that you pose, unlike ours, which are just general knowledge and trivia, the questions you pose in your podcast are truly important moral and philosophical questions, and they are dealt with the seriousness with which they deserve.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm now remembering some of that night.
Yes.
And some of the stories that were told.
I mean, I laughed more than I have ever laughed at Rick Edwards, who is a friend of this show.
Oh, yes.
We love Rick Edwards, and he is not only a brilliant quiz show host, as proved with Impossible and
Impossible. Robot voice again.
Well, you were practicing. But he's just such a funny man, isn't he? He's just amazing. Yeah. And he told a story involving a Kinder egg, and car doors. I mean, I can't fully remember all the details of it, but it was
a very innocent story.
Yeah, you don't want to remember all of it. was nice was that it wasn't a honed anecdote. It was clearly something he'd never told before. Because, you know, he's a very sort of...
You could sort of see him regretting it as he was saying it.
He was saying it, he was like, oh, God, am I right? Yeah, I'm doing it. And it made it all the more exciting.
Well, I would urge our listeners to find that edition of Do the Right Thing. Although, I mean, it is not one to share with the family.
Please don't. It's not Sunday dinner.
No. Work, home. It's really not. Just lock yourself in a bunker somewhere and listen to that. And also catch up on all the other fantastic episodes of Do the Right Thing. I mean, obviously, we're in the quizzing world here. Do you enjoy the interrogatory aspect? Interrogatory, is that a word? Do you enjoy interrogating people, Margaret? Is that something that you would like to do more of?
No, I mean, I do. I'm very nosy, if that's what you mean. I suppose I don't know, like, the fact, I feel like I've been getting stupider for quite a while now, I feel. I feel, especially since Brexit, I feel like we've all got stupider.
Yeah, collectively, IQ has gone down a couple of points, I feel.
Yeah.
And individually, during lockdown, I feel that my brain has atrophied.
Well, I wonder if that's why quizzes are so popular. Like, part of it is because there's no sport and nothing much has been happening. But I do wonder if, like, quizzing is a way to try and keep our brains and reflex.
Yeah, it's like Sudoku you can do with other people, isn't it? It's brain training.
Yeah. Sudokus with other people is bad. I mean, I've tried it. It's bad.
But yeah, it's not a team pursuit.
Blank four. Yeah.
There's an amazing YouTube Sudoku channel. Have you covered this before?
No.
It's called Cracking the Cryptic. It's amazing. But, I mean, clearly I'm feverish and it's something to do with lockdown. But I found it immensely soothing. There's a very nice man living out in sort of Sussex, I think, I don't know, who sits there and sort of solves Sudoku puzzles and you watch him do it.
Amazing.
It's well worth checking out. He solved the cryptic crossword by Dave Gorman the other day. So it's a lovely channel.
I'm going to check that out because I think I've watched every episode of Yeller's Marble Races by now, several times over.
Yes, I've heard about
that's
this.
Thrilling and soothing at the same time.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I like to, in the old days when I used to get on tubes, I used to like to sit next to someone who was doing a crossword. And if they didn't do anything for a long time, when they wrote something, go, finally. Really annoys people.
Just a sharp intake of breath. Like,
Just leaning over and suggesting random answers would be quite good fun as well, wouldn't it? For the Evening Standard quick crossword, which is, it's sort of very easy, but it's very dense. So actually, you need a lot of words to fill that crossword.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's been times where I'd have been happy if someone had just leaned over and gone, elbow, no case.
Caused.
Twunk, thwap. Yeah. So, any of you quiz fans, tell us a bit about your relationship with quiz guys. Should we go for it? Let's go to producer Ben first, because you've got a sort of deep and intense relationship with them, haven't you?
I've known quiz many years. I've always liked a good quiz. And in my sort of non-podcast life as a sort of development producer for TV, I've worked in a couple of small companies where I've been their comedy development person, but they've also been developing sort of entertainment shows at the same time. So I have been involved in developing a few quiz ideas, which is great fun. I was lucky enough to see one of them made, so that was great. And I used to run...
One of the ones that didn't get made had me and my husband voicing over clips for it. And the problem was that it are funny voiceovers expose how boring the rest of the quiz. That was our note.
Oh, wow.
That's true. So, you know, for all the successes, there have been about a million failures. But
get right.
Yeah, absolutely. But I love the challenge of trying to get a quiz that that works well, obviously. And I used to, many, many years ago, I used to set pub quizzes for just in my local pub. So I've had a fun relationship with quizzes. I don't get to do them as much as I used to anymore. I've done a few in lockdown, obviously.
What was the quiz that made it on of the ones that you were developing?
It's called Relatively Clever. It was on Sky One, hosted by Mel Gedroych, for one glorious series. It was like an update, I suppose, of Ask the Family, in a way. It was family teams of four, where there were usually two kids and two older family members. And it was all very fun. The challenge was trying to find questions which everyone could, you know, there was a good chance of people being able to answer, but also would be fun for the people at home to play along with. So they weren't too obvious, but so that was fun. And then there were head-to-head rounds where you'd find sort of granny from one team playing against seven-year-old from another team, which was quite a fun feature of that show. Yeah, it's a fun one to develop. And as I say, it clearly was a success because it ran for one series.
There's been some great, great shows that have only done one series. We've covered some of them. There's, you know, Robert Kilroy Silk Shafted. I mean, that's...
The full series didn't even get shown for the first time round. That's how controversial it was. Yeah, at least all your episodes got broadcast. So
there you go.
It's a relative success, I would say.
Yeah.
You're a winner. And what about you, Margaret? Did you have a favourite quiz growing up? We always like to talk about people's sort of...
I was remembering Telly Addicts.
Yes.
We watched obsessively as a family and loved it. And do you remember the first... Because that was really successful, wasn't it? That ran for a few years. But I remember the first series, they had Winner Stays On. Mm. And the first family who came on was so good that they couldn't do that the next series because they were so good they did it. They went right through the entire, like, 30 episodes or whatever.
Wow.
And won the whole thing. I can't remember their names, but they sort of became heroes.
Well, they were probably more famous than a lot of the TV shows they were being quizzed about.
Yeah, right? Well, it seems wrong. In those days, there's only three or four channels. They would have been massively successful.
Because that used to be at the beginning of quiz, that was a big thing, wasn't it? That was why all the scandals in America were about, you know, people who'd been on for so long that the public had got to love them or hate them, or, you know, they became sort of characters in their own right. And then that kind of stopped, didn't it, Jen, after the, you know, the famous quiz show scandal?
It was the 21 scandal in America, which is in the film Quiz Show, because they would have the resident brains and the quality of contestants had to get so high to try and beat Herb Stemple that they had to give up in the end and gave Charles Van Doren the answers so that he could boot off this guy who was just too good a quizzer. Mm-hmm. You know, you think... They just end the series like Telly Addicts did, like Noel did. Sat down, he went, we need to change the format, lads. Come on.
Yeah, because it has to be...
Give the other teams a crack of the whip. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
our equivalent here. Countdown is the only...
You can only win 8 shows, can't you, on Countdown, and then you have to retire. But I don't know if that's always been the rule. That might be something that's had to be changed. And you've got... I think the only real show that's been in recent times was I think it was In It to Win It. Oh, it's one of the
lottery ones.
National lottery ones. No, it's the one that was hosted by Eamon. Why can't I remember it now? Because they all merge into one, don't they?
And the nice thing is our listeners will be screaming.
So they could stay for the whole series and win, you know, basically an entire round the world trip on the basis of it. But the beauty of it was, it was an 8 show series or something like that, and then you got the next lottery show came in. So they don't really let you win lots. He is
slightly, because Channel 5 developed a show called Do the Right Thing. But also, weirdly, in a quiz context, I once won a quiz that Eamon Holmes hosted and won a top of the range bike. So
nice.
A good prize.
What was that quiz? Tell us that, you know.
It was some charity quiz at, is it Century House? A club in London?
Ooh. Yeah, there was a club called Century,
And I was sort of roped into it. Our team won and I had to head-to-head at the end to win it. And I won
a
bike.
What was the question?
I can't remember what the question was. All I remember was I won this bike and I didn't cycle. And so I took about 9 months to pick it up. And then sold it.
You did
which I now regret.
What do you mean you didn't cycle?
I didn't have kids then. I wasn't so much into just cycling around or anything. So.
You could sell it now in lockdown because I've been looking for bikes. They're an absolute premium. You go on eBay and people are, they're going to be funding holidays in the Caribbean with the amount they're getting for their old Raleighs and choppers. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, whereas the best thing I ever won was a Bobby Brown Frisbee.
Bobby Brown, the pop star.
The makeup, the pop star. It says two can play at that game on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, more than two can play Frisbee.
I was going to say, that's not quite accurate.
Yeah, it's a rubbish
game.
I wonder if
a minimum of two can play that game, and one can be a dog.
Had it been Connect Four, then two can play at that game, right? Yeah.
Licensing issues, though, surely.
Yeah.
Pricey,
Bobby Brown Frisbee. Oh my goodness.
I wish I left it in my student house and I feel really sad about it now. I think it would be a really funny thing to keep coming across in my adult life.
Explain that.
But you could, I mean, if anyone has a Bobby Brown two can play that game Frisbee, then please get in touch and we will give you any money that you want.
It was because I was on the winning team, the national pop quiz, 1996 it would have been. The NME, people from the NME ran and went around all the universities in the country. But basically the prizes were shit that had come into the office of the NME. Hence the Frisbee.
And probably just an excuse for them to get out into student unions drinking heavily subsidised alcohol. Well, good, we've established that you're both winners, which is a lovely thing to know.
It was quite a while ago.
Well, no. You've committed yourselves now. A bike and a Frisbee have been won before.
Very athletic, these two, aren't they?
Yeah, I know.
You can see by what happens to those items.
So we're going to give you a chance to prove your quizzing prowess. So we are now going to give you, Margaret and producer Ben, a chance to win not a Frisbee, not a bike, but the respect and admiration of the Fingers on Buzzers audience, who are a discerning bunch. So we're going to ask you some questions. And they're right or wrong questions, you see. You've just got to be right or wrong.
Yeah.
Will you do the right thing and say the right answer?
Yes, thank you. Good.
Do the wrong thing. That was Amanda's idea. She's very good. She's very good at this.
she should be a producer, shouldn't she?
She should. Yeah. She was born into the right family. Obviously, the producer family. So, Ben, we're going to start with you. Simply need to tell me whether this is right or wrong. Okay. Queen Victoria had 9 children. Is that right or wrong?
Well, I know she had a lot of children.
You can confer if you want to, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That gave you the impression that I knew something, didn't it?
Come on, Margaret. Bring up the goods.
I feel like that sounds right, though. What are you thinking?
Well, I think she had a lot of children, and so then it's a question of whether... I mean, 9 does feel about right to me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of their names.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm going to guess George, Albert. She wouldn't have a child called Victoria. Okay, George, Albert, and then George and Albert again. And
that's how names work, yeah.
Yeah. And it does when you're kings or queens. And then, well, probably a William, a Charles. I'm going to say that 9 sounds about right to me.
Well.
Okay.
And if not, higher.
You are absolutely right. It was right. You did the right thing by saying yes. So shall I tell you what their names were?
Please.
Yeah. So she had...
Because there aren't that many royal names that are allowed.
They just recombine them, though, don't they?
She did have a Victoria. Victoria was the very first one, who was Victoria Adelaide Mary Louise, briefly nicknamed Pussy, and then a few years later Vicky, when they realised what Pussy meant. And then, so Albert was the second one, Alice, Alfred, Helena, Louise, Arthur, Leopold and Beatrice. That's 9, isn't it?
Same as... Well, it's very close to your child.
I've got an Arthur and a Beatrice amongst my children.
Very royal. The producer dynasty is a royal one as well.
Yeah, little producer Beatrice. and producer Arthur. Lovely. Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
That was a very good answer.
Yes. Would you like another question, though?
I'd love one.
Yes. Right or wrong again? Same principle. The infamous episode of EastEnders, which saw Dirty Den Watts tell Angie he wanted a divorce, occurred on New Year's Day in 1986.
No, it didn't.
Oh, no,
I know it didn't. I was going to try and sort of, you know, think of how I could string it out before saying, no, it was a Christmas episode. But it was a Christmas episode.
Yeah, I'm making the wind-up.
It's the wrong thing.
Correct. Right. We need to get the terminology accurate for this.
You're right, it's
right.
Wrong.
You're right, it's wrong.
Funnily enough.
Correct.
In Do the Right Thing, when we started out trying Do the Right Thing, we had a round called the Film and TV Round, where I think it was Michael and Margaret would act out a scene, a famous scene, and then people would try and guess, would suggest better things to have happened. And I think we tried it three times, and every time it was the Den and Angie scene, and it never went anywhere, and then we ditched it. And I don't think it's ever been in any of the podcasts. The Den and Angie scene from EastEnders was the basis of a round that we flogged into the ground three times and never got anywhere with.
Could you give us a little of your Angie now, Margaret?
Absolutely, can't remember. It's weird, I can sort of remember the tone, you know, I can remember that and that, but, you know, the word, no.
Exactly. It was just her, I'm a bit drunk, and
I'm drunk in a dressing gown, then. Did she say that? Was that one of her lines? I can't remember.
I think I'm drunk in a dressing gown, then, was the
catchphrase.
You're always drunk in a dressing gown. That's your problem.
Ange.
There you go. Well, I think that was a wonderful rendering of it.
Yeah.
So Margaret, evocative.
Let's turn to your questions now. So, Margaret, is it right or wrong that the Hundred Years' War went on for 120 years?
Well, I know it was more than the 100 that they claimed. It's weird, isn't it? You sort of think, oh, that's... Why would you have to name it something else? I don't know. Just because it's too long. Anyway, it's definitely more than 100. Is 120 sound right to you, Ben?
I'd guess that was right. But I was trying to think of what's the fancy word for counting in 12s rather than 10s? Would it be dodecimal?
Like it's the guinea of centuries.
It's the guinea of centuries, yes. That's about right.
Let's abandon this. It's worse than the Den and Angie scene.
So your answer is that it is right that the...
Yeah, I think so.
Well, no, it's wrong, but it's a bit of a sneaky question because you were right in essence, but not in fact.
But no, that's fine. I'll accept the judge's decision.
It was 116 years that it went on for rather than 120. So they were counting in the, not the dodecimal, the sextaduodecimals.
Yes.
Why would you not round it up rather than round it down? They wanted to make it seem like it was less of a hassle. Oh, it's only 100 years, what? Yeah.
Well, history is written by the victors.
We beat them in 100. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't need extra time, did we?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, Margaret, another question for you. Right or wrong, Sylvester McCoy played the seventh incarnation of the Doctor in Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
Do we miss Michael Legg at this point?
Yeah, exactly. He'll be shouting at me if he listens to it. Seven seems a little bit low. How many have there been?
You can name them if you want. Oh, I mean,
yeah, we'll try and work through them, yeah.
Oh. I think the first one was William Hartnell.
Correct.
Yeah.
Second one was Patrick Tram. Mm.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. No, hang on.
Third one is John Pertwee.
Yeah.
Correct.
Fourth one's Tom Baker.
Correct. Yeah.
Colin Baker. No, Peter Davison.
Peter Davison, my Doctor Who.
Colin Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe it is then.
So that'd be seven. Sylvester McCoy.
Are we counting bloody John Hurt? When did he come? Is that after that?
The War Doctor. I have no idea.
I'm looking at Jenny's face to see if she's giving anything away.
go with your feeling.
Yeah, seventh.
What's the question? Seventh, yeah.
Yeah.
You are right. It is right. He is the seventh Doctor. Very good with your listicle there of the previous incarnations. Very good. I think Sylvester McCoy was my Doctor, in fact. But I didn't see that much.
You're a bit younger, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, he did, and it vanished for ages. And I remember when the McGann version came out, that my dad was very excited, and I thought, "What? Why is he getting excited about this old program coming on?" And
you were wrong.
Yeah, Eccleston saved it. Is what happened, really.
Are those all our questions?
That was it.
So the 20 minutes I spent revising the film Do the Right Thing this afternoon, totally wasted.
Would you like me to ask you a question on Do the Right Thing?
I mean, I'll just give you a load of answers now, right? Danny Aiello, John Turturro, Spike Lee, Driving Miss Daisy would definitely have been an answer.
Okay, good. I love this.
Yeah.
Broccoli?
Brooklyn and did broccoli. They make broccoli pizzas? Maybe.
What year, Ben? What year was Do the Right Thing made and released?
89.
Yes. Always very good.
I mean, I literally revised it this afternoon. I thought, you know, I have to, I have to be able to.
Showed willing, but
we nicked their title. I have to.
You've just pushed out a whole load of other knowledge that you might need, Ben. That's what you've done there.
It was the film debut of which actor, also a star of...
Who?
Yes.
Martha Lawrence.
It was. Well done. God, you're amazing.
Are we getting extra points for this?
I think you will. I think you will.
It's only fair.
It's like you've done your Mastermind Specialist subject round. Fine. So that's great. We now know when producer Ben goes on Mastermind...
No one asks for more questions on Mastermind, do they?
This really marks you out as a proper quizzer because if you go to a quiz tournament, the proper quizzers will wait for the end of the official events and then decamp to a bar, a side room. Someone will get some questions out on a laptop. It'll be endless hours and hours and hours. Yeah, they can't get enough of it.
Wow.
It is exhausting.
Is there anything you'd like more questions on, Margaret? Any special requests? I think it's time now for you to turn the tables then. You're allowed to quiz us. And I presume, now, we don't know because Amanda has been liaising with you about this.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm hoping...
At one point when Amanda emailed, I thought she was giving us the answers to the questions that we were being... I was like, this thing. I mean, it's not quote unquote.
It's no more fitting description of this podcast than it's not quote unquote.
It's not quote unquote. I'm no Nigel Reese. I'll tell you, I'm certainly no Nigel Reese. I loved it. I did quote unquote. And And everyone I knew said, oh my God, you know so much about literature. And I was like, no, they don't, because otherwise you're going to look like an absolute. Although, no, he gently nudges you along the right path.
Yeah,
he says, they cut that out.
Yeah, he says, do you want to know that?
I used to edit, quote unquote, do the sort of audio editing of it for Radio 4. And
That
story's going nowhere because it was.
It sounded like you had some real goss there.
I thought it was going to be a Rick Edwards
real
moment
laughs.
There.
No.
I wish I hadn't started this anecdote, but no. I'm going to have to complete it.
It's time now for the Do the Right Thing gang to quiz the Fingers on Buzzers Massive.
Lucy.
Yes.
What are the first names of the aviation pioneers, the Wright brothers?
Oh,
Not the Righteous Brothers.
I see what you've done. It's very good, this. Right, the right answers.
Yeah,
and I'm going to give you the right answer because I'm pretty confident that their names were Wilbur and Orville.
Very good.
Orville, as in the duck.
I wish I could fly.
Yeah, presumably he was named after the flying.
Yes.
You know. Yeah,
you'd hope.
No, the other way around.
Reference:
the duck was named after him. It wouldn't work the other way.
Right, lovely. You get a point. Jenny, which famous Wright was born in Richmond on the 8th of July 1965, working as a journalist on the Sun and showbiz gossip columnist for the Daily Mirror, before launching a television career and hosting a Channel 5 topical debate show from 2000 to 2018.
Ah, that would be TV's Matthew Wright.
TV's Matthew Wright, correct.
Yeah, who's now transformed into Jeremy Vine.
Yes,
same show. It's the same set.
Doctor Who. Yeah.
God, he might be me next. That's really worrying.
They need a female Matthew Wright. They do. Yeah.
fun fact. It says fun fact, it's pretty bizarre. He, in 2003, Wright performed on stage with his favourite band, Hawkwind, at the London Astoria. And even more weird, he also released a single with them, Spirit of the Age, in 2006.
That is remarkable.
For him.
I thought that was the... There you go.
Oh, God.
Anyway, lovely man, Matthew Wright. Lovely man. Hello, Matthew.
Big
listening.
Fan of Hawkwind. Yeah. I'm going to keep that with me forever.
Ben, your turn to quiz us now.
Okay, well, my first question is for Jenny. Okay. Which London club did footballer Ian Wright start his career at in 1985?
Oh, this is going to be not the club he was most famously associated with.
Ooh.
Oh.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know which club he was most famous. Was he an
Arsenal?
He was an Arsenal person.
Yeah. So it would be more ironic if he'd started at Spurs. But I might go for somewhere like Fulham.
West Ham.
Oh, nice.
Can I give a clue?
Yeah, go
QPR,
on.
QPR.
South East.
Millwall.
Nope.
Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace.
No.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, so that's a sixth of a point.
Yeah.
I should be diminishing returns of quiz. that's a good question, though, because you might have gone straight in and gone straight for him kicking off at Arsenal, but have a think about it, lads.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll get to Crystal Palace.
Lucy, I've got one for you. Which famous Wright, born in Greenwich on 26th of August 1954, raised in New Cross, another South London boy, and had a childhood ambition to work in entertainment? I'm aware that's not a proper sentence, but I'm going to continue. In 1976, they began broadcasting at Thames Valley Radio, getting their big break in 1979 at Radio Luxembourg, before moving on to present an afternoon show on Radio 1.
It's a big show. The silly boy himself, some serious jocking with the lovely Steve Wright.
It is Steve Wright. And I also have some...
He doesn't have a nickname, does he? Which
silly boy. He's given himself a nickname, as all the best people do.
He's rolled out about five nicknames. Why are you listening? I've got some fun facts about Steve Wright.
Oh, lovely.
I'm told they're fun facts. He's allergic to feathers and penicillin.
Wow.
That is fun.
Wow. Careful at the pillow factory, Steve.
Yeah.
Because they won't be able to save you.
No, he's done for.
Bitten by a pigeon and infected. What a way to go. No, I'm sure he's very careful around birds and things. Gosh, that's a really fun fact.
Well, yes. I mean, not fun for Steve, but fun for everyone else.
It's
no Hawkwind.
Well, I think we were quite... No, you did better than us, didn't you? I wasn't even keeping to be honest. But yeah, that was a win for Do the Right Thing. So who did the right thing? Ben and Margaret. Well done. Yeah. So now I think the last thing we have to do is be pitted against each other by producer Amanda.
You thought that was the main bit. It was the warm up for Amanda.
Is this like a lightning round? Is this a speed thing?
It's very much not a lightning round. It's the meander round.
We have to go and have a dinner.
It's the ramble round. It's the little around the garden path round. You get a question each. So the idea is that you are supposed to be pitted against each other. But, you know, we like a bit of team effort on fingers on buzzers. So it's a very coercive atmosphere. You know, everybody helps each other out.
Coercive?
So. Yeah, the other one. The opposite coercive.
I heard the rumours.
Oh, my real feelings are coming out. My inner monologue, oh no! Okay, so we've done a couple of rounds on rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're on to some things. So we've got some questions about some things.
I missed the rounds about
things.
Do and the.
I had
He's
to do
been around on do. Like
Agadoo.
Come on and do the conga.
Yeah. Most of the music is do, isn't it? Yeah.
Do the police. Anyway,
right, well, when you come back on again, then and it gives you everybody time to really knuckle down and do their research into that as well.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Prepare yourselves better the next time.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. right, so your questions on things. I'm gonna start with you, Margaret. So which US band had a hit in 1999 with the song All the Small Things?
Something that that we always sing when we see Aldi. Aldi, small things. But I can't remember the name of the bloody band. I'll give them a made-up name.
You can confer. You can all.
Jen's got it. Jen knows.
Jen might actually.
I've got a guess.
Go on, Ben.
You go first, Ben.
Is it Blink-182?
It is. Absolutely
right. Well done.
That was absolute catnip for me because I was working in a record shop at that time.
Oh.
Well, so you know
I have a golden era of 1998 through to 2002-ish that's pretty solid for me all around.
Ben, your question is, The Thing is a fictional superhero appearing in American Marvel comic books published by Marvel Comics, kills the priest. The character is a founding member of which fictional superhero team?
Well, this is very much my Achilles heel, superheroes.
I'm going to break it, you loads,
Ben. I mean, the only superhero team I know of connected to Marvel Comics is the Avengers.
No.
So it won't be that.
No. There are fewer
of
them.
How did you know
fewer
that, Ben? The shaking heads. Does that help you?
It's a smaller crew, I would say. Yeah, smaller crew than the Avengers. Yes!
Yay. Oh, lovely.
I should have known that.
Just numbers, isn't it?
It's one of those that they keep trying to make films of, and they're always terrible. But they keep trying. And they just need to give it up.
Yeah. Well done. Anyway,
they want to waste some money, don't they?
Team Do the Right Thing got it anyway because Margaret knew, so that's great.
Absolutely.
Well done, Margaret.
Okay, Jenny, which 1982 American science fiction horror film was based on the 1938 novella Who Goes There?
Thing?
It is the thing, yes. I mean, I thought there's a pretty strong chance that you would get that because...
John Carpenter's The Thing, to give it its full title.
You've redeemed yourself.
Get some extra knowledge. Rather than just saying the theme of the round as my answer. Lucy, that's probably a clue.
It's like when...
is it going to be about a character from the Addams Family?
It's like on Popmaster when, on Popmaster where people choose their bonuses and it's like, you can have chocolate or whatever. And then it's, Chocolate Girl by Deacon Blue. And they're going, oh, I don't know. It's by Deacon Blue and I don't know.
You should always go on Popmaster. You should always go for the weirder bonus topic.
Yes.
With those, you can usually predict what's going to come up, at least two of them.
And if this is Thing from the Addams Family, then you can just drop the mic and walk away, Jen.
There you go. Predicting the answers to a quiz question, that's the best feeling.
Yes.
Talking about Popmaster, I think you've got a very strong chance of getting this one, Lucy.
Ooh.
Ken Bruce. that's his nickname, The Thing.
The radio thing.
He's my everything. Ken Bruce is my first, my last, and my everything.
Oh, how lovely. How lovely. Okay, which song written by Chip Taylor was originally recorded by US band The Wild Ones in 1965, a year before finding success with a UK act? And if you need an extra, I can give you a little clue.
Is it You to Me or Everything? Just read a song that I can sing. Oh, baby.
No.
Wild Thing,
the Troggs.
It is Wild Thing. It was released in 1966. Yeah. Very well done, everyone. You know your things.
Hey. Bravo.
Well done.
Well done.
We redeemed ourselves in the final bit of the quiz, Lucy. We've done all right there. Although I feel we did have slightly easy. I definitely had an easy question. That's not the way it usually goes.
Yes. I admit. About things.
Yeah. Hang on, there wasn't a thing in that question. The answer.
I was going to reverse it, but I should have reversed it, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Well, if our listeners...
Jeopardy?
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a Jeopardy themed episode where everything is the other way around.
Yeah, topsy turvy.
Answers are questions and questions are answers.
Yeah.
Well, and if our listeners want to send in any more Thing related questions, if they want to send in questions for Ben on Do the Right Thing, the Spike Lee movie. Or if they want to send in questions for Margaret to be answered in the style of Angie Watts. Feel free. So
she doesn't
sound
like she knows much, so I'm happy to do that.
Whereas actually, Anita Dobson, a very knowledgeable woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, her and Brian May, that's a couple you'd want on your pub quiz team, isn't it?
Oh, imagine.
I've worked with Anita Dobson.
Have you?
She's very knowledgeable. Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Good. Good solid work there. Well done. Yeah. So before we go, which we must, it's been an absolute delight talking to you. I feel I should ask you a do the right thing style sort of moral question with a moral dimension. If you notice someone cheating at a pub quiz, this is a subject we cover quite a lot, what is the right thing to do? Oh, Margaret, Ben, what? I mean, either of you.
I mean, throw their phone to the floor. I mean, get a chair.
Are they on their phone?
Smash the screen with the chair leg. I would say violence is called for.
Very good. Very good.
Upturn their table.
Yep.
Scream.
Scene in general. It's what Angie would do in a pub quiz.
You slag!
I've got on my... On my wristband is WWAWD. What would Angie Watts do? It's seen me through hard time.
Oh, God, I bet we could find. I bet there have been some really terrible episodes of EastEnders where there's been a pub quiz in the Vic.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Ian Beale had one, didn't he? He had a team. And he was all there. I can't remember what Ian Beale's team was called, but they were up against John's Shirt. And that was the name of their major rivals. But I was at university at the time. They did all the pub quizzes. Every single one I went to had somebody called John's Shirt.
Ian made Cindy go and sit in the toilets because it's when the first sort of mobile phones were around. She had a mobile phone with an encyclopedia, and she had to sit on the in the toilets on the phone.
An early Google.
Yeah, and basically try and find out the answers for him. She was not happy about it. No wonder she had him shot. I think it was that.
That's how you deal with cheating in pub quizzes.
Exactly. There we go.
There's your answer.
Wait a few years and then get someone to shoot your husband.
Perfect. Well, we've solved that dilemma, so we're all very happy. And it has been an absolute joy. Do go and listen to Do the Right Thing if you haven't already, because it is an absolute treasure trove of delights. And give our love to Danielle and Michael as well, won't you? Because you are you're doing lockdown episodes and live streaming and all sorts, aren't you?
Yeah, we have been. Yes. Yeah, they're, you know, really painful.
as all these things are.
Not ideal is the phrase I keep using. It's not ideal.
It's not ideal. But I've really sold it, haven't I? As a...
Yeah.
Come and listen to our painful show.
If any of your listeners do Google us, we're not the Spike Lee film.
No. Or the Eamon Holmes Channel 5.
Or the Eamon Holmes Channel 5 thing.
Yeah.
Google
yeah.
Do the Right Thing podcast, you'll find us.
Hooray. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We love you very much. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, no, sorry. I said the wrong thing, didn't I? Thank you for coming. And
the heat's getting to you.
Oh, God, I tell you, my back is sweaty. Anyway, it was lovely to speak to you guys. And thank you to all our gorgeous listeners, as always. And we'll see you next time for another edition of Fingers On
Buzzers.
There's the robot. Bye!
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.